Welcome to Three Cops Talk. On this podcast, three active duty police officers discuss behind-the-scenes stories and real-life accounts of what it's like to be a cop. Every episode, you'll get an inside look at the challenges and dangers they face on a daily basis, as well as the triumphs and inspirational moments that make it all worth it. If you want to understand more about the men and women who put their lives on the line for us every day, then this is the show for you. And now your hosts, Chris, Scott, and Sean.
Scott's continuing education in police leadership has not only taken him back on the road, it's also presented us with an opportunity to express some of our frustrations with certain aspects of the current status of all education in the United States.
The views and opinions expressed in this episode belong solely to the hosts and do not represent the views of any professional organization. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. On the
road again. He's on the road again, folks.
On the road again.
His desire to be educated in this field knows no bounds.
I want to be a better leader is what I'm trying to do. You can't fault me for that.
You're all worthless and weak.
Just by going the places you're going, you're a better leader.
Scott, can you tell us where you're at this time?
The lovely state of Wisconsin, a little northeast of Madison, for another training class.
What town are you in?
It's Watertown, Wisconsin.
Watertown? Yeah. Is that near Johnson? Is that near Johnson Creek?
It is. Just north of Johnson Creek.
He's afraid to answer.
Here we go. Here we go.
My brother did some dinner theater up there, actually, and it was in the early 90s, and he got the lead in this play when he was first starting out as an actor. And it was a musical comedy that was titled The Butcher of Plainfield. And it was a true story based upon the life of a local guy in Wisconsin, that area, Scott, that was named Edward Theodore Gein, who was a murderer and a grave robber that used to dig up people's bodies and like reconstitute their skin and stuff into like clothing and you know, masks and stuff like that. It was a huge hit regionally with particularly with the Wisconsin Supper Club crowd. But, you know, it really didn't go anywhere beyond that. But it was cool. My brother brought me backstage. I got to meet a lot of members of the cast. Got a signed playbill from it still. It was a little bit of a dark play, but it was really good times.
So there's a theater here that I should be looking for somewhere? There's an outlet mall right here. So I think they probably leveled that for the outlet mall.
Just like in the schools, they destroy the arts to make way for capitalist greed.
Is it a premium outlet? Like you got Coach and Kate Spade?
No. It's regular. It's base model. I'm going to go get some half price irregular Under Armour running socks before I leave here. I get jealous because, you know, Chris is like, his stories are, I'm at the Trump Hotel and they left my mints on the pillow, my white chocolate mints and my robe, you know, and not the same at the Comfort Inn here off the expressway. As I take a sip from the thimble sized cup that I had to peel out of the plastic to drink some water. I'm going to go down and get a refill from the air quote fitness center that's here as well. When I go down to the fitness center, it looks like those gyms. It's that gym from Seinfeld where, they got the old school weights and it's that machine, like the machine that you just, the belt that you put around you and the thing's running like on a trolling motor, like to shake the fat off of you.
Leadership is sacrifice, though, Scott.
It is.
That's what it is. You're a servant leader.
I'm the boss. How about that?
But I'll tell you, they are great hosts up here and a very nice training class and very nice, the agency that's hosting it up here. You know, you go to these trainings just like when I was doing the Des Moines one, and it's cool to kind of like go somewhere else like that. And especially in the Midwest, people are pretty friendly all the time and talk about like what's going on with those police departments, what kind of things are they dealing with there and their agencies and where they work, what kind of calls they respond to. And
well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my home.
It's funny because I'm like, the first thing I think about now, because you're always, you know, making jokes about the SWAT related stuff. And so we like to poke fun at ourselves because, you know, cops, there's a lot of like, there's all those stereotypes about us and stuff, you know, all the different things that we do. So now because Sean's always joking about it, like I walk into the class and I sit down and I'm looking around at everybody and I'm like, there's the full sleeve tattoo guy, you know, with like acting, looking cool with a big beard and a flannel shirt. I'm all like, right, that guy's in a drug unit, you know, and it's like you go around the room like that. Not really sure what they probably think of me. They're probably like, look at this guy. His hair is so short.
Douche.
But they
Do they make you introduce yourself?
Yeah. So you have to introduce yourself, talk about what agency you're from, your rank, all that good stuff. So it's interesting to hear what people have to say. And then especially, it seems like one of the questions they always ask you is, well, what kind of hobbies do you like, or what kind of things do you do, And so, of course, here it's like every guy down the row, hunt, fish, And like, I'm a car guy, so of course I go right to the car thing. But then I thought about it after. I'm like, man, because I'm always like fucking around. And I'm like, it would have been funny if they would have just come to me and said, well, I run my own doll hospital. I have a doll hospital in my basement. Eats up a lot of my time. Like a doll. I just to see everybody turn around and look at me and go, what did that guy say? Right. Yeah, I restore dolls.
Mama? You had some stuff that was really getting under your skin up there,
even with
the continental breakfast. I mean, you were.
Yeah. I was reviewing this over scrambled eggs and biscuits and gravy. And I know we're going to talk about just all this stuff that's going on with colleges and these protests and things that are going on all over the country and different colleges' responses to what they're doing. And so this kind of ties into the education thing, and. Again, I'm a fan of teachers. I have teachers in my family. So this isn't a knock on teachers as a whole. And much like cops, there's always like certain groups, that get a bad rap. But I had to comment on this. This is the Chicago Teachers Union, and they're in the process of trying to negotiate a new contract. And Chris's dad worked for Chicago Public Schools. So he knows, he got a lot of history there with that too. And it's just amazing how much I'm sure this has changed even since your dad was there. But they're trying to negotiate a new contract now, which will go through 2028 and is essentially $50 billion with a B dollars for pay and some training and some other kind of different social justice kind of things, but that's over the course of this contract. But what's interesting about that, if you just look at that number, the last year, the total base tax, like all the revenue that Illinois generated last year was $50.7 billion. So Illinois brought in $50 billion. And this teachers union, Chicago Teachers Union, wants $50 billion over the course of the next 3 years of this contract. And what's sad, actually, for these students is that we talk about this all the time, how poorly or how bad the Chicago public schools are and what seems to be a terrible education, unfortunately, that a lot of these kids are getting. And right now, only 21% of their eighth graders are proficient readers. So like that's bad, and we've talked about all the problems with their.
Right,
And let me just interject on that, Scott, real quick. You sent that and I saw 21%. My school is right near 40 and a good portion of my kids don't speak English and they're at a higher reading level than that.
The people that have been here for a while, their entire lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
English is their native language, basically. Yep. Yeah. Which is disturbing.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost like the Bears asking for a big payout on a stadium. How about you win a Super Bowl for the first time since 1985? So we can stop talking about that. The teachers union, look, every union has a right to negotiate for better wages. But some of the things, particularly at this troubling time in there, it's insane when you read it. You're like, this is almost satirical. What they're asking for, things that have to do with the green movement, things that have to do, like Chris said, about abortions, like that they want covered and things like that. All of these things that they want negotiated in. And now if they were putting out like a top notch product across the board, some of us might be willing to entertain that idea, but the idea that this is what they're asking for, this is steeped in yet again, who is the mayor of the city, right?
Mm-hmm. Who was a teacher, by the way, but anyway, go ahead.
Who was a teacher and helped them negotiate. And it brings to light some of these things where a lot of these unions, not just the teachers' unions, donate a ton of money to mayoral candidates.
$2 million. They donated $2 million.
This is all stuff that a lot of people outside the union world go, well, you're a government employee that is donating to somebody that's going to run for mayor in that city. And then you're going to demand that this person pay you out. I mean, how is that any different than the mafia, what the mob used
right,
to do?
Right.
I mean, honestly. And one of the things from the articles that I read was notably absent was the police. The police were not, like the firefighters were listening there, the electricians union, the garbage unions. They're all making donations. The only one that the article didn't reference, and it was a local affiliate in Chicago, was the police. Right. And I'm wondering if the article had the juice to say that, well, the police even made a donation, mm-hmm. they probably would have. So I'm thinking maybe
what
it's
they
not.
Didn't know.
Yeah, their own teachers union sends her kids to private school. So they don't want right. any kind of she right. wants to push for all this money for the public schools, sends her own kids to private school, and then says when other people want to send their kids to private school, you know, somehow it's tied to race. And it's like, no, it's having options. You know, it's like I can afford, what kind of a car can I afford? I can afford this one that is really cheap and not that good. But if I'm fortunate enough to afford something a little bit better, that means I'm going to have something a little nicer, a little more reliable. And so why can't you offer alternatives to these schools if they're not producing? You're asking for
right
tons of money. You're asking for 9% pay increases year over year over year on this contract, while kids suffer and get less and lower quality education every year. How can you justify that?
Right. Well, that's why she sends her kids to a private school, because my girls both went to private school. It was $13,000 a kid. So I was paying $26,000 for 2 years, but you were getting a product where my daughters could read, write, do math, know about world history. And if there was a problem, you could go in and have a discussion with the teacher. And I'm not just talking a problem with the teacher. I'm talking a problem with my kid. Right. You can go and you could have that. So when you have that, you will produce a better product. But in this public schools, you can't say anything bad about a teacher. You can't go in and talk about a student. You can't do this. You can't. So, and I want it better for my kids. And plus, the scores of where they were going to school or where they went with the school were vastly different. So it was worth it for me to have them better off. So if the public school would have been producing those numbers, they would have went there.
Right. And even if you can't afford the private school, you still, for what you pay for taxes, especially in Chicago and Cook County, people deserve better than that. You deserve better than that for your kids. I mean, there should be a higher expectation. Those teachers, to me, should feel bad about the fact that those students aren't performing better. And rather than get embroiled in all these other social justice issues and trending social issues, focus on teaching these kids. And if they're not the qualified people to teach these kids, then recruit better qualified people or provide yes. the teachers with better training to then in turn teach the children better.
And here's a new thought. You get better teachers, just like you said, to teach our students better or children better. Guess what? Then they become educated. They learn how to learn, and they make choices, better choices about any socioeconomic problems, and they could probably solve the problem.
Yeah. And I didn't know like what they spend on like what you spend per student, but in that article it says this Chicago Public Schools spends $21,000 per student. The national average is like $14,300. So just to put that into a little more perspective,
but
like,
on
this
what?
Is yeah, this is what you're paying. So it's far and above 1.5 times what you're spending, and that should upset the folks who send their kids to those schools.
So wait, so that's $21,000 a year?
Per student. Per student.
Per year.
Mm-hmm. And
that's
the national,
double what I was paying. So my one student at a Catholic school was 13.
Well, there's all those other things.
They're 21
built
and they
that.
Can't produce.
Yeah, right, right. Anyway, that was my rant.
Well, I mean, it speaks to the entire education system in the United States right now. A lot of people don't have a lot of faith in it. I mean, when they started unleashing on cops a year ago, the Chicago Teachers Union is one of the most vocal critics of the police in that city. And you could probably go elsewhere and see, and we've talked about this on the show before about how academia is no friend to modern law enforcement. And nothing's been better illustrated by that than the things we've seen in the last year. We went back to our first show and we talked about this. Scott and I talked about it in show 162. Hate has a dorm room here. Boy, did they show us to be wrong. They actually have an entire encampment here where they're, you know, engaging in behavior that's consistent with brown shirts and keeping Jewish students off of campus to the point where even colleges are like, whoa. We've finally got to stop and do something. They didn't address it properly at the get-go. And now you're seeing across America, they're sending the police in to have to deal with these kids that they should have dealt with all along. You know, I've heard multiple different stories and all this that 99% of the kids who were arrested in one school and supposedly in California were students. And then I read in another article that said a lot of the students arrested at this school in this state were actually not students at all. They were agitators. There's a lot of things going on right now that's discrediting modern education. And for all of the crap that we took as profession, like you guys couldn't see it with Rodney King, you guys couldn't see it with this person, you couldn't see it with that person, you couldn't see it with that person. Remember, the line level people that are trying to do this work are like everywhere else, they're trying to do the right things by this. But I would say to teachers everywhere, who are you letting lead you?
Right.
I mean, those three women, again, that went before Congress, you talk about that, that could not draw a moral compass. It could not set a moral compass to their students to say, this is bad. Where did they think this was going to lead to? Do you think kids listen?
Right.
If your job is education and knowing young people do not listen to you. They only learn by making mistakes. Well, they're taking down American flags on college campuses. Well, the school didn't fix it. A bunch of fraternity boys finally said, I'm tired of this. Right. And are doing it. And again, people say, oh, you know, it's white privilege in the fraternities coming up there, standing up to these poor people. The problem with all of it is that they're poorly informed about what's really going on in the Middle East. And again, you're mad at your fellow classmates for something, a decision the federal government has made or the Israeli government has made. Why is this now? Why does this have to be brought to the forefront in our world? Now, I understand that people need to, you know, talk about all these things. But like at least in the 60s when this was going on with Vietnam, there was like, why am I going to die in a foreign land so politicians can get richer and we're really not going to solve anything after 10 years of just, you know, bloodshed for these poor people from Vietnam? That's not even our fight over there right now. Hey, if you really want to get that radical and you want to go do something, hey, man, go take that headscarf you're wearing and get on a plane and land and somehow, some way in Egypt and get your way into Gaza and start throwing rocks and stones at those people and see what's going to happen.
Right.
Hey, you really want to be that radical? There is a place you can go to do it. Just like after 9/11, a bunch of young people signed up to go fight over there. You're not doing any of that. You're just destroying your own campus, which has actually been on your side for a while. It makes no sense because education isn't about education anymore. It's about feelings. It's about what we want and how we as adults that run these institutions want to feel better about ourselves and get paid really well to do it. It's ass.
It is because they're doing it. And they're not even informed. Did you see that one girl? She looked at her friend like, what are we here for? We should probably get educated on what we're doing here before we get,
know what they're doing.
It's not to say that people weren't doing that during the Vietnam era too. Yeah. Like there was a guy I used to work for in logistics that went to Ohio State. And I was like, we were trashing buildings and stuff like that. I go, well, why'd you do it? He goes, well, because it was fun. I didn't care. You know, it's like there are plenty of people that are just out there to cause trouble. And like, what they're trying to do should have been nipped in the bud a while ago. But look at our entire educational process right now. We're not making smarter students. We're making people that are much easier to manipulate, much easier to misinform. And again, we're seeing it only from what we see in the media, but how many agencies in the last week had to go on campuses and like go old school style, you know, to get these kids off the campus?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like tear gas and less lethal munitions and, you know, removing people by force that just
horses.
Don't get it. You know, and we don't know how many officers have been harmed or hurt in the process. Horses, here you go. But to me, it's just a matter of, you know, this entire process is a joke. Just like police work needed to be reformed, I think we've reached the point now where we could take a look at education and say, obviously needs the same thing. It's out of control.
Right.
The adults aren't in charge. These petulant children that know nothing about the world are disrupting the entire process for everybody involved. They're canceling graduations. These kids have been through enough. They got their graduation's canceled for COVID. Mm-hmm. Now here you are getting ready to graduate from college, and all of these universities are doing the same exact thing. How much more are we going to take away from these kids before they're like, we're done with you guys. Right. We're done with Gen X. We can't take it anymore. We're going to do it ourselves. You're starting to see it on campuses. And then we're going to be in the middle of all that going, who do we stop from fighting each other now? What are we doing? You know, I mean, it's going to be stupid.
It is. It is going to be stupid. And you see, and I'm starting to see some of that.
It doesn't matter what side you're on with this too, either politically, whatever side you're on politically, if you've got a kid that's going to Columbia and you're spending $80,000 plus a year for this kid to go to Columbia and they can't go to graduation, they can't have that ceremony to finish out the time and effort that they put into that college degree because these idiots are out there blocking the campus and setting up tents and disrupting everything. Hey, you certainly have the right to protest. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to do all of those things, but not in a way that it ruins the experience of everyone else. And we've all have or have had kids in college, and you understand what all comes with that. And that is what is aggravating. And that's why I'm surprised that more people don't come after these universities and say, you know what? I just gave you $100,000+, or my kid took out $100,000+ in loans to go to your university for all these years. I want them to be able to go through that process of graduating. And like you said, like Sean said, there's so many of these kids that got screwed with everything with COVID. That happened with our kids. And now this is going to happen at the end. It's ridiculous.
Well, what about these people? They're not letting Jewish kids in. I'm thinking, like, didn't we kill the Germans at some point? Number one. And number two, you have the right to assemble peacefully. That you don't have the right to stop somebody else from getting educated, and they're not letting them on campus. It is absurd. And unfortunately, some of these places didn't get ahead of it soon enough. The first time they wouldn't let a student on campus because they were Jewish, I'd been like, as a president, you got to step in and say, okay, this is not what this is about. Bring in the helos and the police. It's time to go, because now it's counterproductive. Now you're doing exactly what you're trying to what you're protesting against.
They're not even teaching these kids Brown versus Board of Education. How many famous pictures are out there of college campuses in the South where white people did not want black people coming on campus? And you see black people standing in those crowds with Palestinian flags draped on them. And you think, do you realize that your grandparents were people that were just like this Jewish kid that's just trying to get on campus because you're an anti-Zionist, that you think that this is right?
Right.
I mean, like, where have we gone? We've gone completely full circle. And we're not talking about places like, you know, where banjos are strumming and people are having sex with their sister. We're talking about the highest levels of education in the world. Yep. These people are engaging in behavior that was historically, let's just call it what it is, redneck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously angry about it because I can't believe this is our country. And these kids are so like gullible that they can't even pick up a book or follow something on TikTok. I'll give them that.
Right.
That shows, hey, has this ever happened before? Because here's how TikTok works. You click on one video, you get a lot of videos that follow up to that because it's an algorithm. So if you get off of what you just want to believe, just like we had to as a profession, as cops, where are these teachers at? Where's the teaching going? I'm sure there's plenty of good teachers out there. Just like we've always said, there's plenty of good cops out there. But when we said that, we were told, well, enough of you aren't standing up. I'm going to say the same thing to teachers. Right. Where are you in the Chicago Teachers Union that's saying all the empty buildings that are Chicago public school buildings should now be turned into migrant centers that are further punishing the black community in Chicago? Police-free schools is what they want. Like, where are the decent teachers then? Like the good cops had to stand up and say things. You know what you should do is we should get one going. Chris, you should be on Bogle here, like Roger Ailes, and it could be like three teachers talk. Get that going. What's going on?
Oh, you know, I can invest in that.
But I mean, it's just like these are the things that you just think like what? Literally, you can't just apply it to one profession and not think that eventually they're going to come for you too. Because that's what's happening right now. Education. The angry mob is coming for education. They are pissed off that they're spending this kind of money. We've been told for decades that if you don't go to college, you ain't worth it. If you don't get out of high school, you ain't worth it. And I look at it and I go, what are we really teaching these kids? Right. What are we really, really teaching them?
Well, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the first lawsuit to come out and say, you didn't allow my kid to go to school for a week. I want a refund.
And leave it to Florida, Chris. Leave it to Florida. That, you know, somebody with some sense down there, you know, down in Florida, the University of Florida president, Ben Sass, I think is how you say his name. I mean, this guy has just come out basically, we're not a daycare, knock it off, act like adults. Just, he's like, no bullshit, man. Like, right. And I can't believe that there's not any other universities, or they're not making the news the way the pro-protesting stuff is. But this guy, no, we're not doing this. This is an institution of higher learning. We have kids here that are paying big money to go to school, to get an education, to get degrees and whatever it is, and the things that are going to be their future. You're not going to disrupt all that and destroy our campus and these kids' college careers, right, and everything else because you want to push it over. And I think he says, I'm not quoting him direct, but like something to like listening to like the loudest voice, just because the loudest person wants to scream and yell about something. That's not what's dictating how we're handling things here. This is how we're going to handle it. And you don't hear much about it. They basically shut it down and say, no, yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah. What happened was, is that there are two other major universities, as soon as, I think as soon as somebody started making camp, and soon as the rumors were they're not going to allow people to go to school, they marched in the state police and they just cleared it out. So it was like it was just instantaneous. As soon as that stuff started occurring, they didn't even let it happen. You want to protest peacefully, fine, but you're not going to interfere with everybody else's life. And as soon as that happened, it went and I was watching USC. I think it was USC or maybe UCLA where they're launching those munitions in the air, those flashbangs. I'm mm-hmm. like, why aren't they like skimming their heads or, you know, getting a little closer? It's a little high. I didn't know. And then I flip the channel and then I see Florida just tear gas, boom, boom, right in the crowd. I'm like, yeah.
And the enrollment in the Florida schools is probably going to go even higher. Right. Like when you see that.
Right.
Like, kids across the country are going to go. I mean, look, there's always something to rebel against. And if this is what the mainstream is on college campus, the new rebellion is going to be rebelling against that. And they cannot see this for what it's worth. It's like everybody else that gets in power. You think you're going to be in that position forever and you never have to change your tactics because that was what your success yeah. was. Colleges are going to die financially if they continue to allow these stupid things to happen. Like people are going to like literally so many people are going to leave Chicago. How are they going to get $50 billion?
Right. Right. But right. I don't know. I don't know. But it's like you said, like when you see other students that want to go to school and get an education, and they're looking at the schools in Florida, and they're like, okay, you have a school, and they're allowed to protest. Okay, cool. Then they have the right to peaceful assembly. But as soon as it starts becoming unpeaceful, I know that I'm protected, that I could still go to school and still have my constitutional rights to go ahead and be educated or to do what my choices are. I think that's very attractive to a lot of people. I think that's what's going to happen. And I don't know. Everybody's going to come here. Everybody's going to come here, Texas. I don't know where they're going to get the tax base in the state of Illinois to fund that $50 billion. And so unless they start going into the pensions even deeper.
None of this ever happened when I was getting my VCR repair degree. I'll tell you that. I was going to fix those. Nobody blocking those doors for me to go in there with my socket set and a couple of Phillips head screwdrivers.
Right, right, they didn't have this protest to fry.
Well, but I mean, again, it's another thing. It's Louis joking about it. It's like trades are where you need to be because, you know, we're dabbling in levels that it's just like, it's just honestly, you look at it, it's just not worth it. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it's just not worth it. You look at that and you see this is what's happening on the most prestigious college campuses in the country.
Right.
It's not worth it. It's just not worth sending your kids to those environments. Like, it's sad yeah. because again, cops are going to be thrust into the middle of all of this. Right. And depend upon which way the political winds are blowing, you know, we're now sent out to be muscle. As again, like we weren't for the Floyd riots. We stood back and let people loot and riot. Now, all of a sudden, the colleges are feeling that same pain.
Yeah.
And now, guess what they do? Bring the police in.
Yes, please.
We're going to sign agreements with them. This is what we're going to do. And NYPD is doing a great job of letting them know, like, here's the signed letter from Columbia University. So when the media tries to say that we were in there overreacting as the police, which they didn't do, they did it. Like, literally, that's why NYPD is the top.
Right.
They went in there and did this, like, a PR. Like, I watched one video that they produced that had, like, moving music associated with it as they were clearing that one hall they took over. Like, that is what we have to do as a profession to protect ourselves from people that have sold sold us out the entire time. Now you need our help on college campuses. Those college campuses were hotbeds during the George Floyd riots of saying that we were all a bunch of racist pigs right. that needed to die. Our families were threatened, everything else. Now they're in trouble. It's on their doorstep because, as they say, when Pandora's box is open, right. you can't get everything back in. Now it's there. Now where does this stop? What's the next most radical thing? If you don't nip this in the bud early, you're now, you know, you're creating problems that now, oh, here come the police now. Now we're going to be the bad guys right. yet again to these kids.
Right. Well, right. Well, one positive thing that I also had a leadership class last week, and we were kind of sitting around, you know, talking and stuff, and the riots came or the protests or whatever. I call them riots because they were destroying property, but and then you had the Trump trial and you have all these things going on. And we were just kind of like, just, you know, saying our piece. And one of the guys comes and he says, you know, he goes, the more I talk to people, the more that I'm realizing now with everything going on, they're actually stopping to get educated. They are actually you see a lot of minorities now voting, you know, going to say I'm voting for Trump because when I did my research and we were talking about that, how people are just not taking the social media to heart. They're actually doing their own research and going, wait a minute, I've been getting screwed and lied to and all this other stuff that I'm hoping. That it continues to be like that, you know, the wheel down the hill where people start, now they teach your kids to become educated when they're talking about politics and about going through the world and everything like that. So I kind of see the pendulum swinging a little bit stronger the other way. But it's unfortunate that we just have to go through this ridiculous mess to do it.
I had a leadership class last week too. It was my horse taking a shit every 10 feet. So it prepared me for this week for sure. Shoveling all that stuff up.
How's he doing? How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's a good boy. He's a big boy. He's working his way through some issues with me, and I'm probably part of his issue, but we're doing well. It's a great gig, man. It is. I honestly say to anybody that can afford a horse, a mounted unit, do it. Because the public, no matter how angry they are, they want to come and talk to people sitting on horses.
I'll tell you what, I saw those guys coming to Texas. I didn't want to go say hi. They had those 95-foot sticks. I'm like, uh-oh, polo.
Yeah, I thought I was watching like a Budweiser commercial or something with all the Clydesdales clomping in. Like, where's the guy on the wagon on the back of all this, you know?
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please go to where you get your podcast. Do a please download, subscribe, leave a rating review. Would be greatly appreciated because the more we get out to the world, the more people can hear the honesty and the truth about what's going on in the world to make the world a better place. Please go to 3copstalk.com and you can see old episodes, leave emails. And if you want to email straight away, it's 3copstalk@gmail.com. Again, thank you everybody for listening. Have a blessed day and hope the world gets better every day.
Please take the time to honor yet another officer murdered in the line of duty on May 5th, Sergeant Bill Hooser of the Santa Quinn Police Department in Utah was run down by a subject that had stolen a tractor trailer, taking Sergeant Hooser's life instantly. The subject was later apprehended. Keep his family, his agency, and our profession in your thoughts and prayers, and to say his name.